You told me you didn't need it.
I know, but now I need it. It was in the email, because that's what I looked at this morning, and it was in my email, the most recent one, but my free printer isn't working, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Free printer.
Yeah. Saves a boatload of money, though.
Yeah.
Free print.
All right, is that you, Kathy?
Yes, it is. I'm on a 207 number.
Okay. We haven't started the meeting yet, just waiting for anybody else that might join a little early anyhow.
Okay. Hi, Kathy. Anybody? How are you?
Anybody else on the line?
No,
Paul is not going to be joining us today.
I just saw that. Yep.
Unavailable.
Sunday
Haven
now? Is that the one you're looking for?
Nope. I got him.
Oh. Just getting papers passed around. Oh. We'll start in a minute here.
Was that the one? That was on this.
I have a let me see if there's a
difference. Was it a new one or an old one that you emailed me? Both paving companies have been involved in this, so I'm trying to find out. It's not it.
Hi, good morning. Who joined?
Hi, Dinah.
Hi, Dinah.
Hello, Dinah. Oh, yep, this is Dinah. That's who I am today.
Okay. We're just going to give it a minute, Dinah, before we start. See if anybody else wants to join.
The last one is Sunday Paving.
My most recent email was from Primal Page. I just looked at it to brush them up, but I couldn't print it. You have the emails you sent me?
Oh, thank you, emails.
Well, you get all this help up here now. I think you
that's right. And she's good.
Looking for one.
Yeah.
If you can, I can still talk about it. Yeah.
Give another minute, so, Anna.
Nothing's going to get done again today, as usual, so it doesn't matter.
You got a new cast?
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have it right here.
That's okay.
All right.
It's always next week.
Okay. Well, we can keep looking for it, but we'll get the meeting started. It is Thursday, September the 3rd, and I'll call the meeting to order at 9:01. I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda as proposed. I do want to make one amendment to that.
Yeah.
And I want to add the budget drawdown report that Kathy did last week.
I want that manifest. The check for...
We have added to the manifest a check for $500, which was for the disposal of that camper in the Hutwell parking lot. So we're adding that to the manifest as well this week. Kathy, do you have any other amendments?
Nope, I think we're good.
Okay. So I'll make the motion as amended. And do I have a second?
Second. Yes.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We have Kelly in the room, so we'll jump right to him. Chris Albert said he would join at 9:30. So, Kelly, you get
all
the
right.
mic. What you got?
Go. Deuces culverts complete. We did that yesterday and the day before. It come out as well as can be expected. That steel culvert had failed. I don't know how water was even getting through it. It came out in tiny pieces when we removed it. And actually, the inlet was lower than the outlet, which is, we're lucky we did it. Wasn't the ideal situation, but hopefully we'll get another 30 years out of it. So I'll be dead and gone. I'll be happy.
Don't say that.
It's good. It had it come out good. We actually used some reclaimed ledge from the beautiful summit of Reinach to complete the job, and it's complete. The guys are up on St. Moritz today, putting down some gravel in a few spots, doing a little ditching. Tony's on vacation starting tomorrow, all through next week. So any one-and-a-half-man jobs we're doing, we're going to wrap them up today. Rockhouse Mountain, we went to Treat Deer Road, like I emailed, and we had a malfunction of our tank. We broke a pipe, so not a big costly error, but I emailed them notifying them we would complete that tomorrow, and they're okay with that. I would suggest we get some kind of bill to them for two applications.
All right, you were going to work with...
I'll work with mm-hmm. you if you remind me, because I'm...
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But tomorrow will be a good day, because I'll have some time. And we'll get a bill for them, so you guys can send that out. We have a couple of sticky issues. I don't know which one to start with. We might as well start with 47 Idlewise. It's getting more confusing by the day. The last application I got that I needed a plan to show what their idea was, I was sent Exhibit 2 from Residential Drive Archives from the VDOE from 1995 of how a project needs to be constructed. It shows a 24-foot maximum, which we have a 20-foot maximum. I can't go by this drawing. Some of it would be great if we could achieve that, but there's no way this driveway can achieve what this drawing is showing. I need an actual drawing of what the contract is going to do. Now, I talked to Sunday Paving, who was the original contractor. He knows nothing of the project. That was supposed to be done in the spring. He has had no contact with the owner. I received the most recent new application from the owner, and it's showing PermaDrive Paving as the contractor. I contacted PermaDrive Paving yesterday. They know nothing of it. They looked at this driveway, he thinks, 2 years ago, and they didn't get the job. Maybe this person thinks they're going to call PermaDrive back and say, okay, you got the job? I don't know, but I still don't have a clear picture of the driveway and what the work is going to be done. Like I said last week, we're going to move forward with our culvert and basin installation, but they're running out of time to pave this. So that's up to them whether it gets done or not. I'm just cautioning them that I need the proper information to move forward. PermaDrive said, yeah, they'll do it, but I need to meet with them on site to explain to them what, you know, because it's a sticky driveway. It's got landscape timbers up one side, which restricts the flow going off that side of the driveway. The other side of the driveway tilts into their horseshoe driveway, which apparently they're not getting paved. It can be done, but at this point I'm recommending a driveway grate, which no contractor likes doing because they're a pain to put in. But without more information on how a contractor can do this, all I can do is recommend or tell them they need a driveway grate, just to alleviate any problem with the runoff into the road.
So my question would be, for the catch basin and the culvert under number 47, so does the homeowner pay for the culvert and we do the install?
Yes.
Okay. So the catch basin will be our cost and install.
Yes.
And then the number 49 culvert will be, and they've already agreed to pay for the culvert,
yes.
We do the install.
Yes.
So the last piece would be paving and then the addition of a grate, which is at your recommendation.
Yep.
And does the grate tie into the culvert? In other words, do we have to build the two together at the same time? Or is one can
no.
be done?
Okay. The grate would be up above the culvert, but it needs to tilt to bring the water into our new basin.
Okay.
That's why I need to talk to the contractor to tell him where it needs to fit.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So Permit Drive is on site today. They're doing another paving job. I talked to him this morning.
Yep.
I'd love to meet him.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
If he's the
actual contractor.
Hello? Good morning. This is Nancy. Oh, no. I thought you were in a meeting right now. I thought you were one of the commissioners. Okay. Yep, bye. I didn't ask you, Kathy. I'm sorry. And I thought you were disconnected. All right.
I'm listening.
All right. Ian.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Ian?
All right. So back to pretty much at square one. They need to be notified that I need an... All they did was, where it shows they're supposed to sketch their project, they're referring to this add-on from 1995. That I think that has been updated since then, because I know we have a 20-foot maximum unless they get a permit to do wider, which I don't have a problem doing, but I need an application to do so.
So is that drawing that they're showing, is that just basically the state spec?
No, it's actually in the bottom corner. It shows a VDOE 1995.
Oh, right, but this is... residential, rural, urban design specification from the state spec.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's different than what it shows. It's different today than what is being shown here that was acceptable back in 1995. 24-foot wide driveway would make it almost 6 feet wider than our road. Well, not an Idlewise Drive, but as wide as the road.
Yeah. Which we do make exceptions when there's certain areas where they have to go wider for whatever reason, but they need to submit a permit requesting a wider driveway.
Right.
I can't sign that off and have them, again, not the right information.
Yeah, so I guess to communicate back to the homeowner,
ask you a question. So these people are not there during the week, that's correct?
Right.
Do they normally rent that house, or is it family occupied on the weekend?
Rented.
It's all rental. Well, a lot of rental, yeah.
So it sounds like, on 33 Upper Lakeview, that it seems that the correspondence is just going in circles. I don't know if there's any way to reach out to them and request a on-site meeting with them.
I'm corresponding through email, basically, and she gets right back to us.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like we need to be very specific as to what we need from them, a current plan, the current contractor.
The agreed upon contractor.
It just seems like there's some disconnect that they don't know what we need from them.
Everyone else figures it out. I don't know if it means special type of language or what, but I can deal with the contractor much easier than I can with the homeowner, but the contractor is not responsible, unless he agrees to file this paperwork.
Yeah, because they currently don't have any contractor apparently lined up to do this work. So Kelly really has nobody to talk to in technical terms. That would understand what's required.
If they want to make permit, whoever the contractor is, they need to. That's what I'd like, because I'll meet with either one. I mean, Sunday Paving did submit some drawings, but if Sunday Paving's not doing the job, then if they want to clarify who their contractor is, and I meet with them on site, That would work for me, but I still need something in writing showing the job being done.
So do we reach out to the property owner and ask for confirmation of who their paving contractor is going to be for this?
Can we do that? But I guess what I can do, and it's not typically what I would do, but I can put on my driveway inspection report the recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a drawing. I'm going to recommend a driveway grade. I'm going to recommend that the driveway tilts towards the catch basin. I'll recommend the width of the driveway. But these are recommendations. I can't tell them what to do. It's up to you guys to tell them what to do.
Right.
I'll do my recommendations, and then they're going to have to agree to it, and then you guys would. It's more on me, but to ever get this job done, it's going to have to be more on me.
Yeah. So I guess that's what – I guess that we'll have to take the step to explain what it is we want to be done and then let the homeowner contact a paving company to get agreement that this will be done.
That's probably what we're going to have to do.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and write up the fact that there's a requirement of a grate and where it's to be positioned in parallel or to the culvert that's going to be installed and our catch basin and how to slope the driveway to flow water into the catch basin. Then we can send that off to the homeowner, asking the homeowner to pass that along to the paving company to get agreement. Because that's what the paving company is going to quote on what we are requiring them to put in place. So that grate is going to cost the homeowner some extra money.
Right.
And even the labor is very intensive.
Yeah.
So that will have to be transmitted to the homeowner so that they can reach out to their contractor of choice.
The sticky part of this whole thing is there's not a definite fix for washout in front of their driveway. Everyone gets it. Anything we can do to alleviate the eventual complaint is what I'm trying to do. I mean, it's a paved driveway. They're going to have water coming down. It's going to wash in front of their driveway. They need to realize it's their driveway causing the problem. This is the argument we've had with this homeowner, that this is more their problem than our problem. So we're just kind of taking it very carefully and knowing that there's no absolute perfect fix. The water's still going to travel down a paved driveway. I'm just going to have to take more control of it, and I'll just do that. But I'll report back next week. I'll work with Donna again, and we'll write up the letter, a recommendation, and they're just going to have to follow my recommendation and not theirs.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, the main thing here is to protect the road.
All right. So when the pushback comes that it's not done again this week, that's our direction.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Enough on that. Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, that's okay. That's
why he gets paid the big bucks.
That's right. We'll talk about that one again later. All right, on to another beauty. We're having trees cut on Burn Drive. I'm sure everyone's seen it.
Yep.
A lot of this is being done after the fact, which I caught early on. I spoke with the contractor on site that's doing the tree work. It's the homeowner's responsibility to do permits. I did not have a driveway permit. I spoke with him. He was already on site with all his equipment. I know the contractor very well. He's a good contractor. My decision was to let him proceed with the cut, but not to do any type of builds, not to scratch the ground, to start a foundation, nothing of that. That would take a driveway permit first.
Can I just ask a question? The property, my understanding for this is the property is 8 Idlewise Drive.
That doesn't seem like 8.
He's coming in, his driveway is coming in off a burn.
But the things are...
Oh, okay.
So that's... I just want clarification because...
the driveway off of Idlewise.
He can have his driveway come off a burn if he's got a corner lot, which is what it is.
Yeah.
It'll still be an Idlewise address.
The address is listed as 8 Idlewise.
And that gets sticky because his driveway access usually defines the E911 address.
Yeah.
So, wow.
This thing's going to get really confusing really fast. A lot to do with the contractor. I didn't even know that.
That's why I'm clarifying things.
House number was where your driveway entrance was.
It is.
So he's not an Idlewise address.
And there is no burn address there. So
unless he comes off Idlewise, and if that's the case, that's going to require quite a driveway permit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so according to his application that I have here, it's listed as 8 Idlewise. And it's written on as 8 Idlewise, but I'm still waiting for the copy of the state DES letter of the approved septic.
Right. Before a driveway permit.
Before anything, I can't even give you this for you to go out and inspect.
Right.
Until I get all the paperwork.
The best part of this, Kathy, is that it's a modular house. It's coming in two pieces, and it was scheduled to be set today, and there's not even a foundation in the ground.
Wow.
So I believe this contractor is scrambling now because his house is showing up today, and he's nowhere near ready. He actually flew in the parking lot this morning trying to get up in the office to get final paperwork, and Donna very cautiously told him that this can't be done today.
Yeah, I told him that I emailed him yesterday that I didn't have that the letter from DES, and that was needed to process the application just to get it for inspection. And I told him I know Kelly has at least 3 inspections prior to his inspection, and that then once the inspection came back from Kelly, then the Board of Commissioners would approve the driveway. And he said he'd go get me the paper right now and we'll get it done today. And I said, no, absolutely not. And then he said that this is unbelievable.
That was at 8:30 this morning.
Yeah. So I just, like I said, I'm just following what I know, but I don't have the paperwork necessary to give to Kelly.
So did he ever apply for a driveway? Did he apply for a driveway permit?
I'm getting the application in bits and pieces. He started like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but see, Donna's trying to get the whole application before she bothers me with it.
Right.
Because
right.
That's what I'm assuming is my job.
Yeah.
But I've had number of emails. I had to question the ownership of the property. It wasn't listed in the registry of deeds, but what it was listed under, not his name, but his company. And that was, he just bought the property August 4th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
he bought it, he's setting the house, and it's, I think it's sold already.
So, I mean, the other part of this coin, too, is I don't know if he just expects that he'll be able to put the water in this year. Our applications are, we have the deadline of August 1st for any new hookups, right, Ian?
I believe that's what we've set as a date.
That's in the ordinance.
That's a commissioner decision if they want to pass on that, but we try to have any new lines done by October 15th.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to follow what I'm supposed to do before bothering anybody else. But he showed up at the office with the application, then he dropped it in the mailbox for Monday morning. I think I came into this. I had a discussion with Bob Boyd. He can't give a building permit until we give a driveway permit.
So he knows nothing about it.
So Donna, in his driveway permit application, was he showing it coming off of Edelweiss or off of Burn?
Burn.
Okay.
I don't know. We can check with the engineers here. it's chicken scratch. But he does.
I think he did on his truck out front.
Yeah. No.
Now this.
But
Donna,
I have the plans here. If that.
I was curious where he.
Yeah, it's coming off the Burn, not Edelweiss.
Yeah.
We could technically say that he could use a construction driveway to get the house in there off of Burn, but that his final driveway has to be off Edelweiss Drive.
That's kind of what I did with the tree cut. I'm treating it as a construction permit to let him cut the trees. But
yep.
I wouldn't let him touch the ground until he has everything in line. If you just look at his chicken scratch, he's got a 12-foot wide driveway.
Yeah.
And that's not he obviously doesn't have his ducks in a row.
If he were to come off of Edelweiss Drive, he's limited because of his leach field of his septic system. So he could probably squeeze it in, but
number 8 Edelweiss address with a Burn driveway.
Yeah,
that's going to be I don't think we should let him do it.
No, I wouldn't let him. I'd stop at the trees, honestly, Kathy. I wouldn't.
Yep. I mean,
there's too many other things that he hasn't done that we don't even know about.
Yeah. Donna, this is Mr. Nyman?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, his address is Edelweiss Drive, and I'm of the thought that he should have his permanent driveway off of Edelweiss Drive.
It would help us to go off of Burn, actually.
Yeah,
but he'd have to change. I don't know if you change an address or what. I don't know.
I'll look into that piece. I helped with the 911 conversion back 20 years ago. But back then, your driveway defined your address.
Between the old address and new address.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going to get into is another nightmare like up on Jungfrau. You're right.
I'm saying, okay. is it worth us going through all this to accommodate property owner?
No.
Well, here's the technical piece. So, for example, if we were to try to convert that to number either 1 or 2 Burn Drive, those numbers are probably already taken. This is what I'm saying. It's almost like you can't do it.
I do.
Yeah. So,
2A, 2B.
I'll look into seeing if you have a physical address, a legal address of Edelweiss Drive, and yet your drive comes in from another street, and how 911 matches that up.
Now, could he make a could he connect, like, make a little bit of a horseshoe so that he could come in from either direction?
He could.
I think it's not gaining him anything because he's trying not to come off of Edelweiss because it's a more difficult driveway.
It's a downslope for him.
He's trying to do it quick and easy and get out.
Yeah.
So he just bought the lot. He's going to throw a module on it and sell it?
I think it's already in the contract, from what I understand. And I'm just hearing this through the contractor on site, and the word is that the house is showing up, and he's looking for someplace to store it. So he may be contacting you guys for storage.
Sure, we got plenty.
You put it at the mailboxes, I guess, because you got 30 days. So I think this is just blossoming into a big mess.
Okay.
Until he gets septic designed. That's the next official thing that has to be approved?
Like I said to him this morning, I needed a copy of the letter from DES, and then I can give Kelly the, completed application for the inspection.
Well, he doesn't have a septic system approval yet.
He has a design with the septic showing on it. He has a stamp on it, but it looks like it's a DES stamp. But with that should come the DES.
Yeah, there's an approval form. It's a one-pager.
Yeah.
And that's what we need.
And I just went by
the driveway, the new driveway permits that I have, that I follow, and then I'm, you know, it states on the application, the first page, note two is to include a certified plot plan and a copy of the state-approved septic design.
Yep.
And that's what I sent the gentleman, and that's when I got the plot, the plans, but I didn't get the letter.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll, it's on him right now, what he owes, and thank you, Donna, for handling that.
Yeah.
Judiciously.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know.
Especially with history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a lot of history that we don't need to talk about, but I think you got to, guys, just be really cautious what gets slipped by here.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Do
you have a third one, Kelly?
Third one?
I have a question for a third one. Mr. Rozek's, it's there. It's a new driveway, but it's just for a secondary driveway for stone. Like he wants to put a gravel driveway for extra parking.
Well, I thought he was going to pave it. Okay.
No.
Because I didn't understand that. I took a look at it yesterday.
John Rozek?
Yeah.
So I didn't know if he needed all that. He has the driveway, he has the house, he has everything.
He needs a permit for the second driveway.
Yes, and I didn't know if I needed anything else.
No, that's
okay. Okay, that's fine.
I can do that.
Okay.
And then we have another one for 6 Lakeview Drive.
Paving, yep. Right, of existing?
Paving.
Yeah, that's Renee there. Yeah. Yep.
Paving companies are doing well.
Yeah.
Did you take a look at number 6?
I haven't been out. I just got this.
Okay.
They're just there.
Yeah.
He knew about them, but he was doing the Thusis culvert.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So I'll be doing these for next, and that's all I have.
Quick question, Brian Paving.
Yes.
So they're coming in last week of September, scheduled?
They wanted to schedule sooner, but I know they're not ready up there, so
okay.
I asked them to make it last week.
Okay.
We don't really want to push out past that.
All right.
You want to get in October. You can, but now the leaves are falling. It just makes a whole different job.
Yeah.
So I have them tentatively scheduled the last, and I did the email to Chris, and we'll talk about that. Chris is on.
Okay. I know we have Ian on right now. So in this paving, I just want to make sure that Ian's got all his curb stop valve installation done by last week.
As far as the new ones along the Bristol stock line?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, those should all be done, yes.
Okay. And there were a couple, well, we got Ian here and Kelly. There were, I believe, two requests for the potential of replacing the service line to the home.
Yeah, I emailed back, I think, everybody but the most recent one. I think Dawson was going to go to them directly because I just was kind of in the middle of it. You know, it's a questionable situation as far as I don't think we should be recommending whether or not what they do. I mean, they can be given information. If they have 100 PSI line and, you know, whatever, they can choose what they want to do. But we really, you know, as far as recommending as from the district as to whether or not they should do it or not do it, I mean, you really get into that situation where you really can't say no, because what if we tell them not to do it, they repave their driveway, then they pop a leak and, you know, 6 weeks, and they're like, well, you told us not to do it. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. We're not really in a position to be giving recommendations to the private homeowner on their lines. So, I mean, they can, like I said, they can look at it and decide, you know, if they want to be proactive or if they want to just, you know, keep waiting. I mean, we're not increasing pressure to any, you know, crazy point along that line. There's going to be a PRV to drop it back down. I think the high point, Chris will have to, you'll have to ask Chris when he's on, but I want to say it's in the 90 range at that one point, and then it drops right back down. So, anyway, I think it's, I've just kind of been pushing them along to Dawson to talk to them, and I don't know what their situation is as far as whether or not their, what their recommendation level is, but I know that we as the district don't really want to be making those recommendations.
Right, and to your point, all we want to report is that you have a service line that's rated for 100 PSI, and today's criteria would make it 200 PSI as a minimum.
Right.
Just give that information to them and let them decide.
Yep. Yep, and that's, if you guys want to pay me to go around to the houses and go in, you know, schedule with the homeowners to go in and do that, that's up to you guys. But I feel like that's more on the private contract end of the world, you know, as far as the homeowner needs to line that up with a contractor, whether it be Dawson or anybody else, to have that conversation with them and get the suggestion from them.
Right. And I know that there was one request for number 5, Reinhardt. That's the new house at the very closest point to the tank. And knowing the age of that house, I believe we had 200 CTS requirements in place at that point. So, again,
right, they're likely all set.
Yeah, they're likely all set. They're just concerned, and that's good. But I guess Dawson.
They're
the
also
one
they were up. They were technically off a pressure system already. Their pressure is not going to actually increase any.
Right. Right. Okay.
So that's all what right. That was the one that I did give any level of. When I saw that email, I wrote them back that you know, I believe we're coming out of tank at 50, or at the pressure line of 50, somewhere right around there, and that they were currently running at 60. So, if anything, they're going to see a slight dip in pressure at that one property in particular.
Okay. All right. And, Kelly, just while you're here, I had proposed the purchase of red reflective signpost panels, like the ones we have at the end of Idlewise Drive and Big Loop. They're fairly inexpensive. I think they're $16.50 each. And we would put them on those posts that have stop signs on them. Since our stop signs are not reflective, this would at least bring some attention to that. We have a lot of visitors, especially this year, to the Village District that are unaware of our community, our roads, and I just think it would help make things a little more visible. Kelly, do you have any comments?
No, well, I personally don't see the need just because if they don't see a stop sign, good luck to them. Stop signs are reflective. We do have that, like Jay said, the one at the end of Idlewise. The problem with them is they don't hold up well with snowbanks. They get kind of bent and distorted, and they are high visibility. The one at the end of Big Loop, someone actually borrowed that stop sign and never brought it back, so we're in the midst of replacing that. So it's entirely up to the board. I'll put them on if you want. It is another level of safety, but, I mean, you can't fix stupid. I guess.
I didn't know if it was, you know, any issue that we were trying to solve, and it doesn't sound like there is. It would be, another layer of safety, but I don't think it's necessary at this point.
Okay, to your point, though, I recognize that running a 60-inch all the way to the ground does get caught up in the snowbanks, and it's not visible for the first 3 feet up. So the ones that I was proposing were 30-inch ones. They're basically half the length, and they go right underneath the sign and stay off the ground altogether. They were the short ones.
I guess there was a time when they tried to improve stop signs in here, and they ran reflective tape all around the outside of the stop sign.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well put down spike strips if you're going to try to stop them. They're just... If they're not going to stop, they're not going to stop. I mean, the end of Idlewise, that's probably the only place where someone could actually drive through and get onto a main road where there could be a problem. But how do you fix it? You know,
yeah.
Reflector? Right, I can. Right, I'm not. I don't know. It just, I'd like to put the money into new bus stop signs, some of the newer reflective ones, and I already have the information on the speed limit signs and in the process of doing that.
Yeah,
but
that makes
you can
sense.
Add those to it. Entirely up to you guys.
Okay.
It takes away the look of the community, too. That was kind of my first thought of sign pollution.
No.
Yeah.
Well, the sign's already there. It's just making them more visible at night. Well, okay, we'll move on. Anything else, Kelly?
I forgot about the Big Loop culvert. We have a beaver problem. I know it's a dirty word, but there's a beaver problem. I had a resident say that he watched that area for a while, and he counted 5 different beavers. He said he knew they were different ones because they were all there at the same time. We've cleaned it 3 times now, and it's back 3 times. Seems like big every time it comes back bigger.
You know what? And
Paula did forward information, and I appreciate that, but I contacted Fish and Game again, and Fish and Game asked if I had a gun. And I said, no, I'm not permitted to do that. He said, well, you can fight with this and fight with it. The beavers seem to always win. It's really taken a lot of man hours from us. And if you ever saw how we have to clean this pipe by jamming a 40-foot tree through the pipe with the backhoe back and forth to try to flush through it, we're going to do more damage to the pipe, if anything. And it's a half a day for us to clear this out.
And you know what, Kelly?
Someone's going to make the hard decision.
Jay, did you read some of the information that Paula forwarded?
Absolutely. And some of that information I was going to just report on history. So we've tried the box culvert that goes underneath the dam, the Beaver Dam itself, and that lasted a couple of years before that failed. We've tried the pipe, running the pipe underneath the Beaver Dam so the water continues to flow. That also failed over just a matter, I think that lasted about 1 year. All the things that were suggested in that documentation that Paula said, we've tried most of them, but we've just been unsuccessful. The only thing that seems to have worked is actually to do trapping and remove the beavers from the area.
I agree. I mean, I read through them as well, and it didn't seem that, you know, this whole pipe diversion to get the water to flow underneath the dam. So these pipes, it did say in the article that those pipes still require maintenance. And our beavers are smart. Even if we did that pipe procedure, they go on the other side of the grate and build the dam on the inside of the culvert. So
yeah,
that defeats that whole plan.
All of those ideas are suitable for a 30-foot wide beaver dam.
Yep.
You know, where you can get something underneath and it's not going to obstruct the road. This is a road obstruction, and we can't put anything in our existing pipe to restrict the flow at all. So they need to be away from the pipe. And for some reason, that's their easiest place to build. And someone's got to pull the trigger, literally.
So I'll make a motion that we ask Kelly to reach out, see if we can hire a trapper. Do I have a second on that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
No.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
So I'll get back to you next week.
Is that an aye, Kathy?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay.
I'll get back to you next week with a quote.
Okay.
What it's going to take.
All right. And I want a beaver hat.
You got it. You get your beaver mask. How's that?
Yeah.
Need it for this winter, I guess.
I'm not supposed to laugh about this.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right.
As long as the public knows that nobody wants to do that, but for the safety of the road and the district, you have to do it. It's unfortunate that that's our only real option.
True.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
What else you got, Kelly?
That's what I got.
All right. Do we have, has Chris joined?
Not yet.
Okay, so
Ian's there.
We got Ian. So,
yeah.
Ian, we're going to give you the microphone, Ian, and let you start singing.
Okay. What do you want to start with? You want to start with yesterday?
Yeah, let's start with yesterday and then work backwards.
Let's start yesterday and work backwards. Okay, so, maybe I should wait for Chris, because I talked to Chris earlier this morning. All I had talked to so far was Jake yesterday. Apparently Dawson's informed Chris. I have no idea if that's true or not. Chris says he doesn't remember hearing anything. Anything to do with this project is supposed to go to Idlewise's office through Chris. I talked to Don a little bit about this yesterday. There was a few times that you guys were getting emails for both myself, Dawson, Chris, you know, different dates, different times. It was decided at the beginning of this project that the engineering firm was responsible for all coordination of anything to do with this project. So whether or not Dawson let him know and it wasn't reported, or whether Dawson didn't let him know and so he had nothing to report to you guys, I have no idea. They asked to do this thing last
week. I told them, no, you guys have to schedule the shutdown. So they told me Wednesday was, you know, that was last week. They said, okay, we scheduled it for Wednesday. We've got it. We're all set for Wednesday. Okay, so we'll do it on Wednesday. So that was the end of it for me. So that was when I got the call from Donna yesterday. She said, yeah, we're getting out of here. She said, yeah, I know. You know, it should only be about 2 hours. We had it, you know, planned. And she said, well, not through our office. I said, great. All right. So that was first I knew it wasn't scheduled. And, you know, that's where we're at with it. So, I mean, I don't know really what to say to, you know, or do to correct it, because this is a miscommunication somewhere along the line. But I can say it's probably the last planned outage I can think of that we have up there. But I mean, it's because all the pipelines in, lines are connected, lines are under the buildings, you know. So it's unfortunate to, you know, have the last one go like this, but, you know, here we are. So
yep. And Chris is here.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Morning.
Yeah, we're talking about the outage yesterday.
Yeah, I was kind of upset about it too. Jake said, oh, we had planned this. It's like, I don't have any, I mean, I would not have missed an outage like this because I wanted to be up there to look inside the PRV pit too. And, you know, and Ian and I talked, and he did get in there and look at it, and Ian's happy with what he has as a product, but it still goes the same that there was a breakdown in the chain between Dawson's to myself and Ian back to the office about this even happening. So I apologize, but it took me for a loop when I got Donna's email yesterday.
It was busy yesterday.
yeah, I'm sure you were. So, yeah, we had about, I think it probably ended up being about a two and a half hour outage. Obviously, the purpose of it was to put the new PRV online, take the Jungfrau PRV offline. That's been done successfully, so we are now operating off the new PRV setup over off Jungfrau Road. So that's where we're at. I mean, it's all done. Everything's taken care of. The old PRV is completely cut out.
All right. So just on the PRV installation. So did you do any pressure testing with the new PRV in place to get the right pressures that you desired?
I set the outlet pressure at 55, which is what I believe we had the old PRV set at. So just match what we had. I mean, elevation, if there's a difference, it's less than a foot. So there shouldn't be any change in pressure or anything like that. Everybody should be seeing the exact same thing that they have been seeing.
Okay.
So unless we actively, I mean, we can look at our low-end pressure, which would be down towards the tail end of Grissom or Granval or whatever, one of those tail-end roads as it continues downhill. If we wanted to do an elevation map and you guys want to change that, it's a very simple thing to do. That's just what we've had. That's what we've had for a pressure, so that's what I set it at. But, you know, we always have that opportunity to adjust those.
Right, and when we get the new booster pump station online, you know, we'll have to compare the different pressures that may have to get tweaked again too. So,
right.
Yep.
Okay.
But you know, that's why we have the PRV pits, because it does give the flexibility of changing that out pressure.
Okay.
Right. This does eliminate what we had for a temporary line running from the valve failure that we had from, you know, a couple of weeks ago as well. So that temporary line is no longer, you know, I got to take that out, which is nice. So that was what was feeding that whole 2-inch PRV zone for the last few weeks, which luckily that held up well. But
all right. So just going back to the communication process, I guess some sort of broadcast communications with Dawson's, Ian, and Chris. And I would suspect, Chris, you might be the one who might want to put this together, that any potential planned outages and or any outages by accident need to be communicated first and foremost by any of the contractors on site to Chris, and then also either CC or then Chris, you copy the office. And I'm wondering if you're in the field, Chris, and you don't have access to communicate to the office, or we're on off hours, would it be best for you to have the contractor just copy any planned outage and or unexpected outage report, just copy the office when it
right,
happens?
Right, yeah. I mean, that would be fine to copy everybody. I mean, I do have my phone with me, which is a smartphone. I get all my emails, and I'm, you know, I pretty much work 7 days a week, so I always have my phone with me. But, you know, if something breaks on a Saturday, I mean, that's going to be kind of news to everybody at that point. I mean, it's all
right.
Brand new pipes, and something shouldn't break. They shouldn't be doing any, you know, pipe work at this point on Saturday and Sundays or holidays anyway.
Right.
But, you know, the God forbid something does break. Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of, at that point, getting a news blast out to everybody. And typically, if Dawson's is going to schedule another outage with the proper, you know, 72-hour notice, then I'll make sure, you know, the commissioners, the office, you know, keep everybody on a CC list, so at least they're aware of it. But
yeah, because I personally got a phone call and an email. Of course, Donna and Lynn here were fielding phone calls and emails. So, you know, I, to be honest, I didn't know, so I had to call the office, and they informed me of what happened. And for a while, they didn't know either until they
right.
were notified. But, yeah, just to have
no, as soon as I got the email from Donna, I called Jake. I was like, Jake, what's going on? I was like, we talked about this. I was like, I don't remember talking about it, but for now on, we shouldn't physically be talking about anything. It should be a written email, so there's, you know, a paper trail.
Yeah,
I mean, phone calls don't, you know, handshakes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're, unfortunately, in our society, we can't live by handshakes and phone calls and, you know, conversations anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And while I have both Ian, Ian's got the mic, but while we have both Ian and Chris on the call, and this may involve Dawson again, but I was up at the site this past weekend, and I noticed that the property owner at number 9, Ryan Arsh, has dug the area for his foundation. And I noticed the water line, service line, laid out, and it appeared to me that it was already buried underneath the soil. But what I could see, at least at the foundation dig, was that there was only about 2.5 feet of soil on top of the smooth ledge that was there. And
yep.
I was just wondering, does anybody know if that water line was installed and how it got installed and when it got installed?
I think Dawson's installed it for the owner. But just so you know, that whole site's coming up, at least around the well house, that's still
yep.
coming up another 2 to 3 feet. So, you know, it was kind of thing with a mountain in Muhammad with the ledge. We're bringing fill up to compensate instead of blasting ledge, at least anymore by the building.
Yeah,
I haven't physically looked at the foundation.
Go ahead. Yeah, this isn't something that we had. I hadn't, you know, arranged this at all. So I haven't talked to Jake about this yet. But I'm guessing. I know Jake's been doing the site work up on that for that house. So it would stand to reason he ran that line. But I mean, with the new policy we have, I mean, there's no way that line's being approved. So I'll talk to him about it. I mean, it's going to have to be. I mean, obviously, we usually pick bench points and everything. If there is going to be fill added, I mean, we have our minimums, and we ask everybody to do it, including, you know, so, no, there's been no inspection on that line. So as far as, you know, as far as moving forward right now, I'll have to just talk to Jake, and we'll have to arrange to have it either dug across in multiple areas to prove depth or whatever. You know, same thing we would do with anybody else that inadvertently put it in, but most likely, if that's on the ledge, I'm guessing we're not going to have depth there, and without, I don't believe... I haven't looked at the foundation. I don't know anything about it. You know, this is when you told me about it was first I heard about it. So,
I never walked out to it. So we'll have to look at it next time
yeah.
I'm up there.
So we'll figure it out. But I mean, with the requirements you guys have with picture, you know, the whole nine, I mean, it's a tough one to, I don't believe it's going to be all past inspection, you know? So, I mean, that's something I'll have the conversation with him and, it's, you know, sometimes you just got to eat crow. So we'll see.
Now, has the owner of
I'll let you guys know what we.
Go ahead, Chris.
I mean, we
so
haven't
has
even.
The owner
we...
for... Yeah.
Chris?
Well, I'm just curious. Has the owner for 9, has he actually put in the application and paid the fees?
That was my point.
Yeah, Donna is checking right now. Of course, he's inquired quite a bit, and Donna's going to pull the folder on that right now to see if we actually have the $8,000 check in hand.
This has been our kind of the poster child for what we need. We knew this was coming, and the conversation
yeah.
I've had with you, and maybe even with the board a few times, is we need to come up with a policy as to what they can do. Are they able to connect run down the road and connect to what will be now an existing water main as we put in this new 4-inch, or are they required to bring the water line to the end of their property at depth and bury and everything else, as we know houses are going to now build around that loop because there's availability to water and pressure and everything else. You know, I guess we know whether they do or don't. I mean, whose responsibility is it to get that water line to the end of that that homeowner's line? So I didn't assume they had done an application yet, but that is something we got to get a hard answer on so that I know what to tell. You know, we had talked a little bit about an abatement, you know, or something along those lines where they could, you know, put into it later if someone else did build. But I mean, I know that's always going to be harder to chase down versus, you know, just having a policy that is standard. You know, hey, it's 6 feet deep, bury, and it's got to be to the end of your water line. I mean, property line has got to be the same pipe that we've been, you know, that's existing. That's it.
Yep.
You know, I think that's the easiest way to go about it, the fairest way to go about it. But I, you know, that's a decision for you guys to make.
Yeah. So we don't.
I don't have all I have is a driveway permit paperwork. I did not receive an application or receive the funds with the, you know, anything was for approval.
So yeah, until we get actually the application, Ian and Chris. There's really no value in, I mean, we can discuss what the plan should be. Like Ian said, we knew that this is coming. But until it actually comes, there's really no value in making a decision. Yeah.
Right.
No, but I do think policy-wise, I mean, we've seen a huge influx in permits or applications for the water line. We're going to run across this more and more and more where they're looking to extend dead ends. I mean, a lot of it has come right at the tail ends of lines. I mean, I don't know if that's just because the houses are built to the ends of the lines or whatever the situation is, but we've had a lot that are right at that fringe point of being on or off the water line. And speaking of even today's conversation, the one that you guys are talking about, 8 Idlewise Drive / Burn, I don't believe we have water line there. So, I'd have to look into it. Because I could look into it further, but off first thought, I don't believe there's a water line out there. So, I mean, that's another one that if they apply for water, you know, are they extending burn? That's obviously but anyway, so these are all things we got to come up with a policy. And I mean, I guess kind of what you read the other day regarding 7 Biasca, you know, if you're not on the water line, you know, if you don't have water line in front of your home, I don't know if it directly states whether you just have to get to your property line or if you got to extend past your property line, and that makes a huge difference. So
right.
I would say whether or not 7 or 5 Rhinac, whatever the 9 Rhinac, whether they put a permanent or not, we need the board needs to come up with a decision, because there's others out there that are gonna come up with this exact same thing. So we at this point need to get a policy in place.
Yeah, and Chris was mentioned that there is a policy that other towns and cities use with respect to extending a water main, whereby if future clients try to tap onto the system, there's a betterment fee or something to that to help pay back that extension. Yep.
That's if Idlewise wants to spend, you know, $300,000 to build that loop.
Yep.
You know, you guys would first have to take that choice to build, I mean, I don't know, I say 300, I don't know what the cost would be. It'd be expensive to build that loop all the way around and tie it in, you know, in the hopes that 8 homes are going to build on it. You know, and now you're asking those 8 homes to spend. I mean, if I would guess $150,000, you know, they're going to be spending $15,000-$20,000 a home to connect to that at a minimum. So,
right.
You know, that's a lot for us to take on with the hope that we get homes to build on that and choose to, you know, and connect to it at a cost of $20,000 apiece. You know, if people choose to do it, it's going to be individuals, and you know, I mean, it's going to be easier to get, I think, people to buy in while they're, you know, building the house and, you know, putting the foundation and doing all that stuff than to, hey, your water connection's $20,000. But that's up to you guys. I mean, that's not the way I'd go about it, but it's not a standard line up there. You're building, you got a blast ledge, you're hammer ledge, and that's going to be a tedious process. So.
Yep. Okay.
I'm going to add to that, too, that we're working with Class 6 roads, too.
Yeah, that was going to mention that. You know, Jay brought that up.
Right. You got to have a hierarchy of why and where you're doing these extensions.
Right, and I think you guys had said that that's actually a district vote, right? It's not the commissioners can't just make a class 6 to a 5. It's got to go to the voters. So,
right.
You know, we're a year out on something like that anyway.
Yep.
Exactly. Right, you may have some people irritated if we all of a sudden decided to extend a loop up there and make that the top priority, that one of the more expensive lines, when, you know, some areas like Burn, for example, we could probably extend that main for a quarter of the cost and put 10 lots on that too. So, you know, if we're going to do the betterment or whatever, we'd have to start coming up with a hierarchy of areas that we want looped and extended and things of that nature to add lots, then have people on a plan if every year we're doing, you know, or every other year we're going to do this line and people can connect. But that's, so yeah, I think that, I don't want to say it complicates it. It's a very, like Chris has told you, it's a very common way to do it, but we just don't have that infrastructure or money that like a standard precinct would have to just kind of, we don't already have that plan in place. You know what I mean? So there's precincts that do that anyway. And, you know, people know that 4 years from now, there's a line extension and they can buy that lot with that in mind with a cost. But so anyway, I think in the short term, we still need to come up with that. I know it's going to come up. So I'd like to have the answer when people ask the question. That's all.
Okay. So Ian, since you have the microphone, we also have a request from a homeowner. You may be familiar with this house at the end of Grimsel off of Clausen. That's a class 6 road.
Clausen and, Grimsel.
Yeah, it was developed a couple of years ago. The road was built, cut
on
in.
The back side of the mountain, Ian.
Clausen.
I know where Clausen is. Is Grimsel like that left-hand turn before you even get down to 4 class?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so I don't know that I've ever driven down it, so I'm not familiar with the property, but I do know where you're talking about.
Yeah, so there's a home down there, and the note that we received was that the wife of the homeowner, property owner, her husband passed away, I believe either this year or last year. They're trying to get water to that site. That would require a new water main off of Clausen running down, again, Class 6 road to the site, and then from that junction with the driveway run up into the property to provide water so that they can sell the house. And I want you to comment on this, because this is exactly just another case of running new water main down Class 6 to service one home, and we don't know what the cost would be.
If that's a privately owned road as a Class 6, or does the district own it?
It's a district-owned Class 6 road.
Okay. So, I mean, that one, anytime this has ever happened in the past, if a house has a desire to run that main, this is a little bit different situation, but that's up to them. And that's pretty cut and dry. If they choose to take on whatever cost that is to run that down there, I guess I shouldn't say that. I guess it's kind of the same thing. I mean, I don't think we as the district should be taking the burden of a $40,000 main extension to get one house water and then hoping, you know, another half dozen houses come in over the course of, you know, 10 years or, you know, 50. Who knows how long it's going to take for those lots to sell down there. So, you know, that's not quite as a desirable area to be in as the top of Rhinac. So, you know, the lots are going to sit longer. So, in my opinion, it would be an individual cost to them to run that. And there's really no way around that. I mean, it sounds like a hardship that they would probably be better off drilling a well.
Yeah.
So I know we don't want to have a bunch of wells in the water system, but I mean, I guess this is kind of more of a long-term thinking process. We're going to run into it short-term here like we are, but the district needs to decide, do we want to take these extra, I mean, how many unbuilt lots do we have? 300 that are buildable, or I know there's like 500 lots, but whatever it is. Do we want to put a plan in place moving forward that we want to do water main extensions to pick up 6 and 8 and 10, you know, cluster areas to grow our users on the system? Or are we pretty comfortable with the size we're at? And if people want to get onto it, they're kind of at their mercy to, we're taking an approach that we're not planning to build water mains at any point in the future, that if you want to have a water main and it's not in front of an existing lot, it's up to you to build it. And we're, you know, we'd love to have it, but we're not the ones that are going to pay for it.
Right.
You know, you guys can think about exceptions to the, you know, connection fees and things of that nature to ease the burden. But I mean, I don't know. That's all stuff, you know, that's on your end. But in my opinion, we shouldn't. This is another good example. You'd have to have, you're going to catch flack if the district builds for independent reason without there having been some purpose behind it. You know, again, Grimsel isn't the area that we'd want to try to pick up 10 homes. I mean, again, Burn is a perfect example of where we should be. If we're going to extend water main, Burns the place to do it, or Hutwell was the place to do it, or, you know, these places with nice family, you know, easy selling lots that people would buy, not, and easy main to put in, not areas that could sit for, you know, 20 years without another home selling on it. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that if you do want to do that, that's a longer term discussion about coming up with a plan of doing water main extensions and then coming up with plans of where we're planning to do those water main extensions. So prospective buyers would know, hey, 8 years out, they're planning to extend XYZ road. If we want to build there, that's not happening before then, you know. No sooner, no later than that time period. So that's more of a longer term thought.
They're grabbing these class six road lots for cheap and thinking they can do something in there for cheap. You're right, Ian. They need to know this is what it's going to take to do it.
Yeah, so I mean, and this person
with a cheap buy.
Yeah, I mean, it's individual circumstances. I think that, you know, again, we don't necessarily want to lose lots to wells, but at the same time, it's not worth, I don't know how far down the road this is, but if you're, you know, I mean, if 50, yeah, so I mean, it doesn't sound practical to me to do it. I mean, even if we allowed them to run a one, I mean, it makes, the cost of the pipe is almost insignificant in the cost of these, you know, things. It's, you know, even if they just got to run a service line down that, there's no benefit. You know, I mean, they've got a long run no matter how you look at it. If it's 300 feet down the road, 300 feet down the road, and it's expensive down a road. So,
yeah. So I'm going to make a motion at this point that we reply to the homeowner that at this time we are going to deny a request to hook into the district's water system based on the ordinance as written, which allows us to do so for those properties on Class 6 roads.
I mean, we can give them a contractor's estimate of the cost of it, similar to we did at Biasca, and just let them know, hey, we got a cost of $19,000 to run water main down here. It's up to you if you want to do it or not. You could do that because they might get a bid on a well at $20,000 right now. I have no idea. So maybe it makes sense for them. I don't know. But it's that's the most I would say we can do. And that's just an estimate, and they can obviously, like every other situation, if they're paying for it, they can find their own contractor, and we just have to inspect it. But that's about it.
I don't think we should deny them because our ordinance says that they can if the pressure is good and
at their cost.
The waterline extension.
Right, and they're fully responsible for the cost, but what I want to make sure is that there's no negative impact to the water system if we extend that water main.
Right, and she's got to bring the road up to a Class 5 road, and she'll have to bring the road up to a Class 5 road.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know about that end of it, but...
So my motion, I guess, fails for a second, but Kathy, do you want to make a motion to go ahead and offer the cost of the water main will be borne by the property owner and also bringing the road up to Class 5 standard in addition to the $8,000?
Right, but that's our ordinance. We don't need to make a motion. I think
right.
It sounds like
Donna just needs to send them the ordinance.
It's kind of in a desperate situation, and when all is said and done, she probably is better off putting in a well. But I think we have to give her the option of the connecting to the water system. But I think if she realizes the cost involved, which we can't really say up front, can we?
We can give her a very good idea.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, I will.
Because we don't know what the ledge. I don't know what the ledge situation is down there, but there would be a cost plus on ledge, obviously.
Right. So, if you want,
come under this house, and
if you want, we can send her the same verbiage that we sent to the property owner at 7 Biasca, that they would be responsible for the extension and any other incurrences that happen to come up within the ordinance, and copy those pieces from the ordinance so that they fully understand what their responsibility is.
Do you want me to do that?
Yep, I can do that. So I'll make a motion that we draft a letter to the homeowner similar to that, the number 7 Biasca, so that they can understand and figure out for themselves what that cost may be.
Now, could we, and I think what she's looking for is some sort of a ballpark figure.
We can give them that to a degree. It's just, it's a cost per foot, you know, standard $35 or $45 for a 2-inch main, somewhere around there in dirt road. You know, give or take, I can't, you know, John, Jake would be able to give you a better, I can get him to give us something, you know, I can pull footage and just send it to him. But whether there's ledge at 2 feet or 6 feet, that I don't know. So that's just cost plus, you know, there's a cubic foot removal ledge cost. And, you know, so yeah, even just digging it 300 feet is going to cost, you know, 10 grand. And then, you know, just to, you know, compact and regravel, that's if it was, you know, easy breezy, no ledge. If there's ledge, that turns into 25 grand, you know, over right away, you know. So it's, we can, they'll have those numbers. You know, they must know when they put their foundation and septic in, if they hit ledge, they'll have some ideas to what they ran into, or the contractor will, and they can go from there. I mean, we're not going to expend any money on digging any test pit or anything unless they, you know, so chose to. But then you add that 8,000 in. I mean, like you said, I would assume their best case scenario is 20 grand, worst case scenario is 40. So, you know, they've got a heavy, it doesn't seem practical, but you know, whatever. Yeah. You don't need to deny them. You give them that choice. I do know that as far as state's concerned, having a denied connection to the existing water system makes it simple for them to get a well permit, because you can't always, well permits aren't always easy to get, but they'll give you exceptions if you have no other form of water. So anyway, if they choose to not do it, you can kind of just throw the numbers at them. And if they choose to not do it, you deny it and the water connection, and now they can take that to the, you know, give them a written letter that there's no main existing and they're denied connection. And, you know, they can then go to the state and get a permit easier for their well. But
so you're saying, okay, so as long as, I mean, I think this woman's in a situation where she wants to know at the end of this week almost what her options are and what her costs are going to be. So
we can give her,
from 20 to 40,000.
Essentially, a quote unquote. Yeah, it's just an estimate. I mean, Chris, what is the prevailing cost at 2 inch in dirt right now, per foot?
It's. I would just use $50 a foot. It's fine.
$50 a foot. Okay. So if it's $50 a foot, I mean, if they're 300 feet, you're already at 15 grand just to build it.
Right.
Another 8 grand for the connection. So their minimum's 23,000. You know, and go up from there with ledge at, what is it, $85 a cubic yard of ledge, something like that.
At least.
So,
at least.
Yeah, at least 125. I don't know, whatever it is. You guys have Dawson's 125.
Right.
So now you've got, you know, if every 3 feet they're pulling out a yard of ledge because it's buried, you know, we hit ledge at 3 feet. Well, now there's another $125 every, you know, there's another $40 a foot on top of this. Now you're at $100 a foot to build it. So it's, you know, yeah, those are very broad numbers without us spending any time or energy on it that you can throw out there, and they're going to be somewhat close. You know, I mean, it might be a little more, it might be a little less, but it gives her an idea of, you know, 25,000 is the minimum, and you know, 50,000 is the maximum. So
okay,
that's a number you can at least put out there.
Yeah, I'll make that motion. That we'll put a letter to. Yeah, I got the numbers written down. Yep, we'll put a letter together. Estimating what the cost could be to this whole property owner so they can make a decision. So that's a motion made.
That's the
8,000. Do I have a second? Yeah.
I'll second that.
Okay. And
then they've got
discussion?
To build a water line to their house, too. So,
oh, yeah,
and
exactly.
It's,
right. And they've got to improve the road.
It's not getting done this year, either.
Yeah, I think
she wanted to do it.
Yeah, I think she wanted.
It's not going to get done this year, too, so there's a time frame.
That might change her whole attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kelly.
Yeah.
Wait, part of that ordinance is that if there is a water main there, that the homeowner has to bring the quality of the road up to a class 5 road.
Yeah. True. I've never read it, but that's what I understand. That changes everything. You know?
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know the condition of that road. Is that a fairly decent road, or is it backwoods road?
It's not bad, but
it's very narrow.
Widened and covered, but I don't know how it works with, you know, history with people having class 6 roads that aren't at class 5 standards having water mains.
I mean, right, there's plenty of that, so.
Yeah.
All right, we'll figure it out, and we'll get a letter together, and we can decide on getting that to her this week.
I was guessing footages, Jay, so just make sure, just give him what Chris said for footage numbers, $50 a foot and $125 a cubic yard for ledge, because I haven't seen it, like I said. I don't know if it's 300, 500, 200, so just give them the, and they can do the math out on their own.
Yep. Okay. We'll do. Okay. So with that regards to that motion, all in favor, say aye. Aye.
I say yes.
Okay. All right. So Ian, while we still got you on the line.
Yep.
I just wanted to bring up, we got Chris too. So we got a pressure tank, a pressure system at the top of Oak Summit. And that tank that was installed 20 years ago is a lined tank. It has a poly liner. And I was reading on the DES newsletter this week where there was a catastrophe in one of the southern New Hampshire towns where one of these hydro pneumatic tanks failed. And the root cause happened to be that the tank was not maintained and rust got into the wells at the end caps of this tank and I guess blew the tank out and destroyed the building that it was in as well. My question to the both of you is, we have never maintained this tank as regards to doing an inspection and or a relining. Is that worth thinking about for next year by putting together a warrant article? And there are grants available to do get $4,000 towards tank inspections. It's stated in the newsletter.
My quick answer on this, without delving too deep into all the specifics behind it, is no. That if we choose, my answer would be to move away from the pressure tank altogether and go to a VFD-driven pressure system, because we only use, even when we're running bleeders up there, we run, I think, 2,500 gallons a day on a bad day. This time of year, we're anywhere from 400 to 1,000 gallons a day, depending on, you know, weekend usage and stuff like that. A VFD-driven system would be excellent up there. It's a perfect example of where it would work out very well. So for the cost of getting into that tank, inspecting it, and relining it, because pressure tanks aren't quite as simple. One, you'd have to set up a temporary pressure system anyhow. Two, access to those pressure systems isn't quite the same. We have to remove a wall to get to it. The access point is very small. They'd likely make you, because it's exposed, cut in a new hatch for people. There's not an easy way of doing that. Your cost would balloon. It's going to get relined. You know that from other inspections on tanks. There's a 0% chance a tank company is going to go in and tell you it's perfect. They're going to clean it and reline it, or recommend that you reline it. I mean, you're going to be at 25, 30 grand, which is probably more than enough to set up a VFD-driven pressure system.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to bring that up. Thank you.
We're getting away from all the larger pressure tanks. Like I said, they're a time bomb waiting to happen.
We only have a 50 PSI.
Small speed drives with a small pressure tank to just kind of balancing it.
Okay. Yeah, we only do have 50 PSI up there, which is different. I bet if you read into this story that you read, they were probably operating at a much, much higher pressure than we are. But doesn't change the fact that, yeah, these things can rot out. And, I mean, it's not the same as when an atmospheric tank rots out. If it rots out, you do have a pressurized vessel there that can cause some, obviously it'll be more damage than an atmospheric tank if it rots out. So it's something to think about. If you gauge the condition of the atmospheric tank up there, it was in pretty good shape. It was in very good shape as far as metal thickness. There was just no lining left. So I don't think you're at but why don't we put together a project cost and you guys can start looking at, maybe in the next 3 to 5 years or sooner if you so chose, of looking at the cost of changing the, we brought a panel in there on purpose to be sized properly for adding VFDs in the future, because we, knew this was a possibility. So you've already got the power. You just have to change the motors out and to single phase and, add VFDs. It probably would not be that expensive of a project. So.
Okay. All right. Chris, Ian, is that all you got?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, I think, have you guys already talked about the fun, my most goings on in a long time, the camera footage down on 4-1-4 class? Has that been addressed at a meeting at all?
No.
There's not
a lot we need to go over with it. I mean, I just think that maybe, for the purposes of myself having a little bit of I'm in total agreement that obviously as a utility user, I mean, there's times we got to go on people's property to run water, take samples, things of that nature. I mean, obviously anything we were doing there was in lieu of the system. But you know, public opinion, public court is what really matters, especially in my line of work where I have private work as well. And I mean, I just don't like it. You know, I actually haven't gone on and looked at the post. I've had friends tell me about it, you know, how it's, you know, trespassers and all these things. I just don't need my business's name or my name associated with that. So just as far as a policy change, and this is mainly on my end, of at least notifying the office if we're going to go to these homes, and then if Donna can do whatever's available to her or you know, the office in general. This is obviously a one-off, but for example, if we're going out and dropping bottles for lead and copper, if we know the 10 sites we're going to, let's send an email to these people a week ahead of time and let them know that you should expect to see, you know, somebody from the district at your home dropping off a bottle. Or, you know, if I know that I have 24 hours, if I get that notification, I forward it to you guys. And the problem there is, I mean, I can just tell you the zone. You can, it's more work on your end, but you can put out an email to, you know, the 25 homes on Summit Pressure Zone and say, hey, there's a possibility that your house is going to be used as a water sampling point. This wasn't a designated sampling site. We were just trying to find a place with water. So we had stopped at 6 or 8 houses already. It was, you know, we're just trying to find a place that has active water or a person home or whatever. A lot of second homes in that area. So, you know, just trying to put out something to people to maybe expect to see us on their property so that I don't get the fanfare that I got on this one. Yeah. I guess that's all I'm thinking.
Okay.
You look good on camera, Ian.
I know that.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks. Everybody knew it was me by my mannerisms. They didn't even have to see my face. I was like, God, that's bad.
Taking the hat off and putting your hand through your hair.
Yeah, that's a pretty common move. So that's always fun, you know, seeing those things. Anyway, that's all I needed to address about it. There's nothing else. I've talked to Jay, you know, I talked to you about it a little bit, but I just, whatever we can do, I know it puts a little more onus on the office, but again, these are uncommon situations. So, you know, we just kind of look ahead to zones we're going to be in or things we're doing and maybe have to notify homeowners a little more. We're definitely living that day and age. A lot of people have these cameras. They're more, you know, attuned to what's going on with their property and neighborhood watches and things of that nature. And we just don't want to, you know, we could talk about whether or not they knew what was going on. That doesn't matter. You know, I mean, it's, like I said, it's a court of public opinion. And from what I've heard, it was, you know, a lot of people chiming in that, you know, how dangerous it is and scary. And, you know, I just, like I said, I don't need the, we just don't need the, that level of, you know, we don't need that going on. So if we can do something to alleviate it, I think we should. That's all.
Okay. A couple of things for you, Ian. We have two.
It's not Ian, it's Chris, but Ian's aware of them. So I.
Well, Ian is aware. But Chris did comment, I believe, on Glendon. We have the two water hookups. I think you're aware, Ian, number 34 Interlaken and number 11 Glendon. Is that correct?
Have I gotten back to you on those ones, Donna?
So, those are the ones that Chris was going to see if there was enough pressure. That's what I'm questioning, just so we can approve the water.
All right. I know we have water line at 34 Interlaken. And what was the other one, the Glendon property? And I know we went out there, and I believe there's already a curb valve at that Glendon property.
The curb stop there, yeah. Okay.
Yep. Ian, I checked the maps, and so for 34 Interlaken, I'm missing the original hydraulic map, but it looks like this down there is about 100 PSI. And then for 11 Blyden, it looked like it's about 50 PSI going up the hill.
So those both sound accurate to me, just from what I've seen around there.
Give or take a couple
of pounds. I don't have any concern about flow to either of those properties. I think they're both fed off larger diameter pipes. They're both right kind of in the same area, give or take. You know, you have an 8-inch feed going down part of Big Loop, and you have an 8-inch feed going, or 6 or 8-inch feed going down Little Shore, which feeds to Middle Shore, which, you know, again, drops to a 3-inch, but you have decent-sized pipe in that area. It's certainly not the worst area we have as far as main size. You know, so, yeah, as long as pressure is good, I think, you know, there's no reason for us to deny those applications.
Okay.
Okay, so there's no degradation in the system. I'm just checking off the forms.
Yep, no.
I mean, that's pretty relative term, you know, I mean, but I don't think we've ever seen loss of pressure in those areas due to high usage, you know, compared to like a the Como Zone area. You know, you got the Hot Wheel Burn area that sometimes 4th of July, you know, whatever, really, really heavy usage weekends, you'll see them have a substantial dip in pressure. We don't have that same area problem over in that area. So.
Okay.
All right.
All right, great.
So you have two new water hookups, Ian.
Yeah, all right, perfect. Yes.
Okay.
Ian, this is Kathy.
Yes. Hi, Kathy.
So just, how are we doing with Justin, Just Electric, and our Jacquin pump house?
Yep, that project starts not next week, but the following week. So we have a tentative start for Monday the 14th, where we'll be doing the temporary setups and stuff, and that's moving forward.
Okay, all right. And everything's cool. Coordinated with Tom at EII?
Yep. Tom's in on it too. Myself, Tom, Justin, it's all good to go. We don't foresee any outages because we have a good amount of water up at Summit, so we can go a day or two as we're setting up temporary. And we have a good amount of water at Chicora that typically only uses down on the feed end of it, like 1,500 gallons. We have good amounts of water. If we get to a point that I believe we're going to have any disruption, I'll obviously let you guys know. And those would be, you know, these would be short outages. If I get to a point I've got to do a temporary setup of some sort outside of just, you know, running some loose pipe, I will let you guys know. I don't foresee that at all, but, you know, that's, you never know once I get into the middle of these things. I've gone over them. It's just getting a temporary power and piping to one of the pumps so we can manually feed stuff if need be during the project. That's it.
Okay.
Just one other thing, Ian. There are the list of swing tie information for most recent and even a couple
and
of years back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got about half of those done. We're just kind of plucking through them. So I can have my guy drop off what we've done so far to you guys today. He'll be down in the area, or we can just get the rest of them completed. We actually pulled back for, I think we've got about 12 or 15 that we're doing. So just kind of filling out the end of days with those to just, you know, get them. Whatever, as we got a couple hours, we're just over there anyway or whatnot. We're just doing one or two of them. So,
yeah, what about the Jungfrau, the new PRV pit at Jungfrau? Any documentation you're going to be providing on that? Because that was a pretty big...
We took all ties were taken yesterday, you know, which will be better than the ones we had before. So, all new valving has been taken, ties, location of the pit, everything, you know. So even the existing valves that we came across, we added to the ties. So at the end of this project, you guys will get a as-built map from the contractor. So,
okay.
Well, we'll put that on our drawings.
Is that part of it?
Yeah, it is. So once we get all that, we're going to put it onto our drawings. So you'll have an as-built set of everything that we did as part of this project.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
All right, perfect. Anything else, Ian?
All right. Not for me.
Okay.
Ian, thank you for checking the Thusis culvert dig. Just to let you know, we did hit tape right at the top of that culvert.
Unbelievable.
Right where
I guess they're just telling you it's below it.
Yeah, so I'm
glad they had it.
Guessing it's still
glad they had it there. Wow. As Kelly just said, we kind of got together on that. We may want to talk about, a procedure on that just to make Kelly's life easier. If they're planning to do a full road culvert, I don't know how frequently that sounds. It sounds like they've done a lot this year, but it's not a common thing. That may be something we want to have involvement in, on the tail end of those ditch diggings, just because, you know, I mean, again, digging water lines is not the same as digging everything else. It's a little bit different. Having some experience with it is helpful. So I know I'm more than happy to give a couple hours to it. It's just I have to have some notice. I was able to pop in with Kelly 15 minutes and kind of walk, help the guys out a little bit, but it's not a... if we plan that, it would probably be worthwhile to, you know, one, take... You know, not shave years off Kelly's life, and two, mine either, really, because I worry. You know, we pop an eight inch water main on Idlewise Drive, and we're having some fun. So, anyway, something to consider. That I'd be more than happy to throw, you know, 2 or 3 hours into digging with these guys on those days, or you guys could even consider having it done by, if we're digging knowingly over the top of water lines with a deep culvert, I mean, it's the same as exploratory digging for water main doing connections. I mean, having Dawson or whatever contractor, if you guys like using, Brooks or whoever you guys want to use on the road to end this stuff. I'm perfectly comfortable with those guys as well. If you guys want to pick somebody, it may be worth for the infrequency of it to have that done. You know, if these guys know they're only going down 2 feet, fine. But when they're going down 4 to 6 feet, we're definitely getting into risk zone on popping a water main. So I'm glad Kelly called on it and thought of it, but something to think about.
No, good. Thank you.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right.
All right, guys. All right, guys.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
All right, Chris. You too. Chris,
bye now.
You got the microphone. Sir. Start singing.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll be a little shorter than Ian, I guess. But anyway, no, we're in the process of filling the tank. Unfortunately, we only got the garden hose going up there. So I'm planning with the email. We're going to be up there with DN Tanks at 9 o'clock, Jay. If you want to come up on Tuesday, I forgot Monday was a holiday. At 9 o'clock on Tuesday, the tank should be full by then. So we're going to be doing our walk around. Leak test, and at that point, we're going to do substantial completion documentation for DN Tanks, and then they have their next pay rec to give me, and I wanted to wait till we have substantial completion, at which time then we'll reduce everything to a 2% substantial completion with the 1 year warranty, and that'll get the opportunity for Jake to come in and then clean up all the old concrete and finish that work up. As far as the building itself, the carpenters were finished the other day. I guess the electricians are coming in next week. I've kind of stressed the importance with Jake and getting that all done, that we need to have, the existing water lines all pressure tested and cleaned to get the trench patch done, because, Bryant Paving is coming in the last week of September. Jake didn't see that as an issue, but... So things are moving down. They're kind of moving slowly. And again, unfortunately, we had the Young Fry PRV pit tie-in yesterday, which I found out after the fact. So when I do get back up there next week, I will open up the hatch and kind of go through it to make sure I'm comfortable with it. But I know Ian liked everything he saw when he was up there yesterday.
Okay.
What's nice,
Chris,
we do have...
quick question. Yep. I don't have there's no building permit. And the minutes on the 25th, you were supposed to follow up with Dawson on that.
Yep,
so,
I did. And I did talk to Jake, and he said he did drop off the application with the electrical licensed person at the town hall and has left it there. So, and I guess, and again, I'm only getting this third party, but apparently he's saying, and Jay, you probably know better, that the building inspector feels Idlewise is not his jurisdiction anyway. So I don't, I guess it's a catch 22. However, the commission wants to handle it, but the permit is on the building inspector's desk.
Okay. All right. I'll reach out to him, because one of us here at the office will have to sign for it anyhow. Donna, you're the clerk, so you're authorized as an elected official as well.
Oh.
You're the owner of the district.
I'm not. I don't sign.
Yeah, and usually that's, having the contractor get the building permit, I do that with any of my wellhouse buildings. Is that way, they've got to go down to Town of Londonderry, whoever the project's at, to pull the permit, just so it's on file. Usually they know there's an engineer doing most of all the inspections, but we just like to have it documented that, who the licensed electricians were on file, their license numbers. If there was plumbing, if there was HVAC, we had those parties.
That's on the permit.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
And that way, it's just we do know that the guy doing the work isn't a licensed electrician, because I dealt with him in Mount Vernon. And I had his licenses on that project also.
Bob only works Monday through
Wednesday. Usually in the morning.
8 to 12 is what their hours are scheduled.
Yep.
But I myself, as a personal homeowner, just dropped my permit off for siding, and I got it back the next day. So,
right.
He takes it in order, I guess. So.
And if there's a check with it.
Yeah.
Check. Then I guess he was saying, or you guys were saying, most of the inspections are done. He doesn't actually come in and do inspections. It's more of a paper trail. Is that correct?
I know I've only dealt with building permits years ago when I did a new roof and windows myself, but I had to get one anyhow.
And yeah, he does come by. I had actually.
Oh, he does.
I don't
okay.
know if he does now because of COVID. I know.
It's different. Yeah.
I know my contractors were told to take pictures of the project along the way.
Yeah.
In case they needed them.
Yeah. But I did have a new furnace put in last year, and he did come into my house, and I also had to get the fire chief to also, because that's a secondary inspection.
Yeah, the fire chiefs usually do the burner permits. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going, Chris. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's things are kind of moving at a, I hate to say, a snail's pace. I think we're, you know, now it's just a matter of getting the trades in there. You know, we did lose probably 2 weeks or so of the carpenters, which backed up the electricians and everybody else just because of the wire winding of the tank and the painting of the tank. I mean, we originally had our pre-construction meeting. We were told that, you know, Jake, the building, could keep going while the tank was going on. But the superintendent now, Cody, that was up there, said that, no, he needed the people away from that site when they were doing the work. So, again, so we lost from site work on the building, we lost probably, you know, at least 2 weeks from that aspect. So,
okay.
But.
And you're still figuring on using some of those eggs to secure the tank itself for security purposes and maybe even the building?
The rocks? Oh, yeah, no, he was fine with that. Yep, so what we'll do is we're going to build everything per plan. And then what we're going to do is take the rocks and we'll take, you know, the road that goes around the tank and kind of strategically place those on the side slope just off from it a little bit. And then I also looked at it with Jake where we're going to actually do kind of a three-sided retaining wall with the building and the back wall. So right where that yard hydrant is and the fire hydrant, Jay, you can get in with a vehicle plus a fire truck or something like to that effect, you know, as a level elevation with a wall behind it. So if you had to grab water from that hydrant and drain the tank, you'll have that ability.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
And then, you know, and then I did have a gate at the bottom of the access road. So it'll be, you know, the gate with wrapped around with rocks so that, you know, the tank will be, you know, inaccessible for somebody to drive into, so to speak.
Off the main road. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Access to the tank.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
To the right of the tank, there's a little road that goes up to the tank site. Because, again, we're bringing the tank up another 2.5 feet of fill for their frost prevention that DN Tank wanted.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Kelly.
So, Chris, we're good for paving. Last week of September, I got your email from a question from Rick about our choice of paving company.
So he was fine. He just needs something in his file. That Brian Paving is the vendor of the district, whether it's, you know, your preferred vendor period or it's something that maybe 5 years ago you went through a short list process. He just needs something since the district didn't go out and, you know, do a competitive bid processing for the overlay. You gave it to your preferred vendor, which is fine with him. He just needs some kind of paper trail in his files. That it was the district's paving contractor.
So the commissioners have to write a letter stating that? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it should be some kind of letter from the district that, you know, Brian Paving is our preferred vendor. They've been paving Edelweiss, the district, for so many years type of thing that, you know, they give us a discounted price because they do mass quantity of paving, and that's all he needs for his file.
We did do a competitive bid last year for Edelweiss Drive. I only had two contractors interested, and they were one of them, so we do have that.
So I would just say that, you know, through the previous years of competitive bid process, Brian Paving has been selected as the vendor of choice through a previous selective competitive bid process. It's the same thing with, you know, Tom on your panel stuff. Or, you know, if you were a big city and you wanted a Mueller hydrant compared to a Crow hydrant or something, it's, you know, they're going to let you have what you've had as long as you've previously gone through that due diligence.
Okay.
All right. Great.
All right, good. My thought process, and I'm getting a bid now from Brian to maybe continue down the backside of Aspen, that steep hill.
Yep.
Get a bid and talk to my commissioners here and see if they'll bite it. maybe using our budget to do something with that. It won't be coming out of your money. It'll be coming out of my budget. So
I know they all realize, I mean, it's you know, it's at least $2,500 whenever they mobilize all their paving equipment. So,
right,
you know, you're
right,
getting a diminishing return to the best bang for your buck by having him just sit there and keep paving.
Yeah, so Jake's going to have to have that buttoned up, too.
Yeah, as far as getting up the hill, yep.
Yeah, what he's going to patch in and what he's going to do there.
Yeah, because once that paving is down, if he's got to bring a big truck up there, we don't want him driving over that new material, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a little soft. Yep, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming knocking on a plastic table by the end of September, you're just looking at, you know, cleanup at that point.
Yep.
Okay. Good. All right. Hey, so Chris, you know, I was looking again back at the contract with all the different additional contracts that we had, for example, the archaeological report, the ledge probes on Upper Lakeview, Bristonstock, Aspen. Are we going to get all that data in one big package at the end of this project?
Well, what I'm doing is we have time for more field time to actually locate the borings. And what I'm waiting for is the tank work to be done. So when my GPS guy comes up, he can do both areas at the same time. You know, if the building's, you know, moved like, say, 5 feet from where we originally had it on the plan, the tank itself is right on the money. But everything around it might, you know, change. The roadway might go this way. The overflow might be over here. So when he comes out, does the as-built for all of that, we'll get the ledge probes. So we'll give you, I have the ledge probe data from Miller Engineering or SW Cole. You'll have that with the ledge probe on those roads also. Yep.
Okay. And the LIDAR mapping, which is important as far as our pressure zones go.
Yeah, that's done. I mean, the LIDAR, physical LIDAR mapping of the whole district is done. I mean, you'll see that if you look at our drawing set. I think it's the first sheet of the contract is that OV, we call it an OV overview one.
Yep. Yep.
That's got the aerial, but we have, if you look at all the other OV2 sheets, we have the whole place. And what I can do is probably give you is a nice, you know, 34 by 26 drawing and put on what we have. Again, it's you know, you got to understand these are working progress drawings. You know, we're only really modeling or looking at the Ryanike upper zone at this point. You know, eventually,
right.
You know, looking back, I think your master plan goes back to like 2000 or 2005. I mean, I think it's any time you do a substantial upgrade, you should be upgrading all of that. So I know when I got all the maps from from Fluid, from Ian, I'm actually missing that one sheet. I think it was like sheet 3 out of the 4 sets. And that's why I put that in that email. That's the hidden area that I'm missing that, you know, we may want to go back after the kind of dust is cleared on this project and look at upgrading the maps, you know, really, you know, that was something I wanted to put up, you know, with Ian is, you know, look at, you know, upgrading the class 6 roads on the maps, you know, looking at the pipes, the pressure zones, and then that would really give you guys the best bang for your buck in the future of kind of master planning of, you know, do I do a class 6 extension and get 10 homes, or do I really worry about that 2-inch water line that's substandard in my existing roads? So you know, we need to really sit back and kind of recapitalize the whole district now that we've gotten through this project. Because, you know, we all know that, you know, today's project is just, not to say a start, but it's, you know, it's a major start, but there's still a lot more to go on out in the future.
Yeah, so speaking of other projects, the Upper Lakeview pressure zone, have you and Ian come to any type of decision as to how to resolve or what you might do to change that?
I think that's why I wanted to kind of, you know, I've got to actually kick the can with Ian some more when he's available and I can actually, you know, lasso him and grab him. I think what we're looking at is abandoning the Upper Lakeview PRV pit itself and putting two more PRV pits farther down gradient to get rid of some of that 115 PSI stuff that's going on. There'd be one, like, say, where your house is, Jay, I guess just above that.
Yeah.
And then another one down on, not Biden. There was one at Biden. It was one of those other roads coming down Lakeview to put another one farther down, and that would help more extensions because right now when you look at the bottom of that, we're at 115 PSI for some of the last of those houses. So it's probably easier to take the Lakeview PRV pit station and actually move it farther down gradient, split the two zones in half.
Right.
So that's something we were thinking about. But again, I really wanted to get through the project a little farther where, you know, Jake's price for a PRV pit is $25,000, which is fine. It's what we had estimated. But we would add another $25,000, which would come out of the $85,000 CIP money that you have. And I really wanted to get through a lot more of the project before we start, sequestering that money.
Yep. Okay. All right. Perfect. All right. Kathy, do you have anything else for Chris? Or Chris, do you have anything else?
No, that's about it. Like I said, I'll plan on, you know, if you want to meet us up there, it's up to you, Jay, on Tuesday at 9, just to kind of walk through the tank. And so that way you as the owner are there for kind of the substantial completion, you know, walkthrough. There's the harnesses and the other stuff that we're leaving in the new building. And they're leaving us like 3 5-gallon pails of paint.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
Yep. So the spare paint that, you know, we want to probably bring down to the, I guess I need to find a spot with you at the DPW garage somewhere safe to put it. Cause I really don't want to I don't like leaving paint, a chemical, you know, additive in a well house. DES
infringes
on that.
No, we have storage for the water system down at the Idlewise Drive garage, the new garage.
Right. Yep. So I just need to make sure it's, you know, it doesn't freeze and, you know, somewhere
it's heated.
Temperature.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it's heated. Yeah. Okay.
So we did the new combination, which is the same combination. I guess we're on speaker, so I won't say the number, but
it's
the same combination that everything else is numbered. So you know that. I'll leave it at that.
Actually, I don't, and I don't want to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's top secret.
Controls all that.
Yeah. All right. Kathy, you have anything for Chris?
I think we're good. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Great.
Thanks,
Chris.
Have a good one.
Yep, you all have an enjoyable Labor Day weekend, and I'll be up there Tuesday morning.
Okay. All right.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you, Chris.
All right.
Okay.
Running a little bit behind.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
We got the administrative report from Donna and Lynn.
Can I go?
Sure.
I think I'm all set.
All right.
Yeah.
There's 3 gallons of paint at the summit, 5-gallon buckets. If you can take those and bring them down to your Iowa Drive garage, I just don't want them to get lost. That's for painting over the graffiti that's going to go up there.
All right. And you'll work with me next week?
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Take tomorrow off, too.
Thank you.
What a nice guy.
Yeah. All right. No, we're doing pretty good here, catching up on things.
Okay.
I accomplished the minutes that we're all caught up now. They just have to be approved.
Yep.
I'm digging into old water hookups. I did find the information on 59 Idlewise Drive. Ian got back to me, the water thing was hooked up on October 19th of 2017. I found the, manifest and me and Lynn found the, 2017, bill, with the water hookup that was, we did get the money from the extension fund. It looks like Nancy did take care of it for $2,260, but we never billed the homeowner for the hookup. So
you mean for the water
for
fee.
The water usage
fee.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. So I can bill them for this year. I don't know. It's entirely up to you, the board, to make the decision for back billing, but I think this was one that went through the cracks
and, you know, I don't know what you people want to do.
So my thought is that we should at least get paid for this year, since we're now aware of it. Do we want to, Kathy, discuss looking back to see if we're legally eligible for requiring the property owner to pay the previous years, even though it was our mistake?
I think that we have the discretion to waive those 2 years since we never billed them. And that was, you know, as Donna said, that fell through the cracks on our end. And I think that it would make sense to send them a bill for this year for the $400 and leave it at that.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to make that motion?
I'll make the motion to bill 59 Idlewise Drive $400 for the 2020 water usage fee.
I'll second the motion. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Okay. All right.
Okay. While we're discussing water bills, there's been a couple of letters that came in requesting.
Yep. We have.
We have a letter from Ted Foley. And we have an outstanding balance with Ted Foley for a property on, I believe it's Gresham, for $1,700.
Grissom.
Grissom, I'm sorry,
yeah.
Grissom. $1,785. This property, the original property owner is deceased, former Commissioner Ed Foley. And I believe he stated in his letter that the water had been turned off to the house. I'm wondering if that means at the curb stop or inside the house. It says it's been winterized.
Yeah, it's been like with the normals. It was shut off.
At the curb stop.
Yeah, but my understanding is they pay for the water hookup to be into our water system.
Right.
And it would be, you know, like a seasonal shutoff is what the it's, you know, shut off. So
He's looking for a waiver of some of, if not most of, the annual water bills that were legally sent to that property.
Right.
And he's known all along. This isn't a situation where they didn't know the property changed hands, that it fell through the cracks. This individual, and it's not even his house, it's his dad's house, has known one, we're billing him, he knows what the due dates are, and he chose to ignore it.
Yep.
So I feel that we should stand firm on what's owed on this property.
No, I do as well. So in a response to this letter, how do we want to answer the request?
I think, you know, that the commissioners feel the water bill balance should stay, put a copy of that section of the ordinance that even if the water's not turned on, that the property owner is still responsible for the water usage fee. I believe it states that very clearly in the ordinance.
Yeah.
And,
oh, it does.
And that's a property that I think that's the first one that we should try and achieve a lien on. Since it isn't foreclosure, it may be sold, and if we don't have a lien on it, we'll get nothing.
Yeah. Well, the other thing we could do, too, is and I talked to Nancy a while ago about this, and she stated that for those overdue water bills, they've always taken the issue to small claims court because it's a lot more effective, and the decision is made right then and there, and the district has never lost.
Right.
Usually the homeowner ends up having to pay. There was one that worked.
And Ted, I mean, I understand Ted's concern because he was probably the recipient of the proceeds of the sale of his dad's home, but it's not money coming out of his pocket. It's coming out of the proceeds of the sale. So,
yeah, exactly.
No, and so I think that we should stand firm on that
And just say, you know, thank you for reaching out. You know, the commissioners have discussed this, and we feel that the water bill, accumulated water bill, bills that are due should stand. You know, here's how this is the ordinance that we can refer you to.
Yep.
Okay.
So the motion, I'll vote in favor of sending a letter and obviously holding up this value that needs that is owed to the Village District. That's your motion, Kathy. So I'll vote yes.
Okay. I vote yes.
Okay. So, Donna, do you think you can write a letter?
We can, between the two of us, get a letter to the...
Okay.
Yep.
Great. And then there was the other one, which was, I believe her name was Karen.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's another one. Tony Ursulo. And now Tony has been paying the water bill for, I believe, years, and he just he did move. Is that right?
Yeah, but he updated the bill the address back in April 28th, I do believe, and he's had the bill, but he asked if they could waive the late fees because he pays his bill consistently. And he was not sure how he missed it this year, and he respectfully wants it waived, the late fees.
Yeah. So, again, there are actually, let me see, I believe it's two late fees. Yeah, there are two late fees that he's missed now. So those notifications have gone out to him. The $50 was the first one, and the $100 was the second. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
and Donna, we did mail them to his new corrected address?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did get, he must have got the original bill, then he got the second bill for the $50, and he got the third bill for the $100 with the additional $100.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion that we, and we've had lax the period for the late fee this year.
Yeah,
and
I mean, the late,
still missed
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like everybody else that has been paying their late fee, I would also expect him to do the same.
Yep.
So I'll make a motion that we respond back to this homeowner that, unfortunately, we're of the decision not to waive the late fee. There was a waiver period given because of the pandemic, and still two late fee notifications went out, and were not responded to. So
along with the original bill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my motion. Do I have a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Nope.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
We do the manifest real quick because we're running
out
of time.
Yeah, well, we should call in. We're going to run out of time, Jim.
Yeah. All right. Let me just dial in here real quick. Hang on.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You still there? So, I know there's some issues. There's a lot of issues that we have to deal with concerning the water. We've got water samples that have to be taken. There's water ordinance with the water line extension for Reinhardt. Do you want to schedule? Can you schedule another meeting maybe on today's Thursday, like Monday or Tuesday? To
Monday we're closed.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We can hear you.
Okay. I'm just wondering if we should have a commissioner's meeting on Monday or Tuesday to deal specifically with all these questions regarding the water system.
Yeah, well, I wanted to bring up, obviously, having a public hearing to obviously address the water ordinance as well as some other ordinances.
But, I mean, things that we can make decisions on right now. Like 9 Reinhardt, we can't wait till, you know, March to decide what we're going to do with 9 Reinhardt.
No, but again, we don't have to do anything until we actually get an application in hand.
Right, but we need to know what the answer is about whether we're going to require him to extend the water line to the end of his property, which we all think that that's the best thing, that's the, a good idea, but we have to all have a consensus and figure out how to respond to him when he, cause he's obviously planning to apply for a water hookup.
Right, right. And I was surprised to find out that, and I guess it was confirmed today, that Dawson's already installed the water line for him.
So my point is, so should we have another meeting prior to Thursday so we can focus on these water hookup issues and the water bill issues and the water sampling for the state of New Hampshire? They're looking for those the copper and lead testing. So we, you know, those. So I think there's enough stuff that has to relate to water that we can have a separate meeting and just focus on those three things: the water hookups, water line extension, and the water sampling.